Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I wanted to tell you all of some events coming up this year, twice this year, from January 23rd to February 7th, 2020, and again from May 17th to June 5th, 2020. I'll be taking a group of people to Peru to visit one of the world's most spiritual places, Machu Picchu. We'll also be visiting Cusco and Ollantaytambo, Pisac and the Sacred Valley, as well as Paracas, where there's a museum of hybrid human extraterrestrial skulls, as well as the Nazca Lines, where extraterrestrials are thought to have used as a landing pad several thousand years ago. Peru is an incredible country. It's beautiful there. The cost is $497 per person with airfare and accommodations extra. But I'll also be giving free psychic classes on contacting the ancient Inca and angels and spirits on the other side. If you'd like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Also, I'll be going back to Mount Shasta twice this year, from July 1st to the 8th, as well, again, from August 27th to September 3rd, 2020. What's amazing is that Mount Shasta is supposed to come into the fifth dimension by this July. So when we are at Mount Shasta this July, when we go into Mount Shasta this July, we will be actually in the fifth dimension with the people of Telos. It's going to be an amazing trip. Also, many miracle healings happen at Mount Shasta. When I was there last year, one lady was healed completely of Lyme disease that she'd had for 20 years. My eyesight was healed. I had blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye, 20/50 vision, and I was healed by a Dhamma from the Hollow Earth, and he restored my eyesight to 20/10 crystal clear vision in both eyes. So anyway, if you'd like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Both trips are starting to fill up. I expect they should be filled within a month or two. So if you're interested in coming, please let me know as soon as possible. I wanted to tell everyone as well that there are efforts to stop 5G in Washington State and as well as in the Yelm, Washington area. There's a citizens group there, and they need your help. If you're interested in helping, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Finally, before we go to my first guest, there's a meditation going on against forced vaccinations in Germany. There's a new law by the Merkel government that is going to require families in Germany to vaccinate all their children starting March 1st of 2020. If they don't have their children vaccinated, they'll get fines up to 2,500 euros. That's about $3,000 US, which is a huge fine. And let's see if we can change this law by meditating together. And we'd like to have everyone meditate now against mandatory vaccinations in Germany. I was contacted recently about this, and I think it's certainly worth meditating and stopping this ill-advised measure. So anyway, thank you so much for doing that. I wanted to say also, this month I'm giving discounts on my readings for only $50 for my full one-hour readings. If you'd like a reading to talk to relatives or family who passed on, or contact your spirit guides and get some good advice, please call or email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Tomorrow on Saturday, I'll be at the Cosmic Awareness Fair here in Olympia, Washington. It's about an hour south of Seattle. I'll be giving readings all day and also giving a lecture at 5 p.m. on my book, Messages from the Masters, and on my new book, which will be published in Germany, called Journey to the Other Side. It's a book about contacting and talking to angels and benevolent spirits on the other side. And I hope you can come. And with that is my good friend, Carolyn White in Olympia here. She's organizing this Cosmic Awareness Fair. Carolyn, are you there?
I certainly am, Ted. Good afternoon to you and all your awesome listeners out there.
Wonderful, wonderful, Carolyn. Carolyn, we don't have a lot of time, but tell us briefly about the Cosmic Awareness Fair tomorrow.
Well, it's all about becoming more aware. It's all about our wellness, body, mind, and spirit, about intuition. And we have about 40 vendors there. Dr. Todd, who's a naturopath that helps people relieve their pain.
Wonderful guy.
Nancy Steeles. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And Nancy mm-hmm. Steeles, who is
wonderful lady.
A neurologist. Mm-hmm. You're going to be there doing readings. And actually, your talk is at 4:15. If you
okay.
want to learn more about drawing sacred geometry, we have a wonderful lady there by the name of Judy Chapman. She's from the Yelm area.
Great.
Janice Churchill talking about EMF. And like we were saying, that what's the effect of Wi-Fi? And she's going to be actually speaking at 10:15. Jerry
great.
And I are going to be there with Aura and Chakra. Zen by Fire, great reader. Sarah Hartsong, Wanda Buckner is going to be talking about communicating with the dead. She also works with animals. Dr. Donna also works with animals and communication with everyone. Melanie Chase, Lundy Hamilton, Isha's Treasures, Heather, Crystal Corey. We have somebody there with things from brass and copper from Nepal, sound crystal vibrations, pottery, glass. I mean, it's
just a ton of interesting people. Yeah, wonderful.
There's a lot of people there. Dragon's Gate, Earth and Sky. So check out our website.
Dragon's Gate.
CosmicAwarenessFair.com, and that will give you a very good sampling. We're also going to have people there with natural health and body care products. Tea and Vicky's also are going to be available. So just come on down to Olympia. The weather's going to be great here, and we're looking forward to seeing everyone. It's going to be lots of fun, lots of good energy.
Carolyn, let me give out the address. It's 9101 Steilacoom Road, Southeast, Olympia, Washington, zip code 98513. It's just a few minutes off the exit of I-5, either 114 or 111, and it's the same location for the Galactic Wisdom Conference, which we're sponsoring on March 13th, 14th, and 15th. And if you do come to the Cosmic Awareness Fair tomorrow, it's all free. And if you'd like to register for the Galactic Wisdom Conference, I'll be giving people about 40 to 50% off the registration fee for that conference as well, which is $125 for the entire conference in March. So anyway, Carolyn, you're a wonderful lady, and I appreciate you coming on so much today. And if you're free tomorrow, please come on down and visit us. It's a free event, and I guarantee you'll have a good time.
Thank you so much, Ted, for helping us promote this, because it's all about getting that information out there. It's all about becoming aware and raising our consciousness and making this planet a better place.
One thing I'll be having with me is my book, Messages from the Masters, available. If you the book's $20 and includes a free reading from me. Also, I will have copies of the newspaper article, which was published in New Zealand while President Kennedy was still alive in November of 1963. It's a long story how I got this copy, but just before President Kennedy was assassinated, Vice President Johnson ordered that all U.S. embassies release this canned, fabricated story about Oswald shooting President Kennedy on November 22nd, 1963, the day of the assassination. When he ordered the U.S. embassy to release this on November 22nd, however, in New Zealand, that actually was November 21st in the United States, because New Zealand is across the dateline, it's a day ahead. And so this newspaper published an article about the Kennedy assassination while President Kennedy was still alive. And I have copies of that newspaper article available for people for just $5. And it's a big full-page newspaper. Normally you have to go to New Zealand for this, but it'll be available tomorrow for those of you who do come. So thank you, Carolyn, for sponsoring this wonderful event. And thanks for coming on my show.
Oh, thank you very much. And love to all of your listeners. And we'll see you all tomorrow.
Okay, great. Thanks you so much, Carolyn. Have a beautiful day. Okay, thanks so much. My next guest is Anna Von Reiss. She's a judge from Alaska, and she's an amazing woman. Anna, are you there?
I think I'm here.
You sound like you are. I just wanted to verify. I couldn't tell. So,
right.
So, a brief about your, for those of you who don't know about Anna, her website is www.annavonreitz, and I'll spell it for you, Anna, and then V as in Victor, O, N as in Nancy, then R as in Robert, EITZ.com. And you started your life in a very different way with mathematics and science. And I spoke to Anna earlier about her background, and I was just amazed at all the different things she's done. And but she wound up studying law, history, government, and other subjects too. And on her website, you will find, I think it's something like, 2,000 articles or over 2,000 articles on our history and all kinds of different subjects. Now, personally, to be honest, Anna, I haven't had time to read all 2,000 articles, but I hope to someday. Maybe, yeah, but you've got so many things there. And one of the things that you've said is that the planet is facing organized crime. Could you give us some insight on that, and how is it organized, and what's the nature of it?
Well, basically, it's organized as an interlocking trust directorate.
Okay. I got that, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, those who are aware of how that works, basically trustees that sit on the board of directors of one trust also sit on the board of directors of another trust, or more
right.
than one trust, right? And
okay.
So they influence the interactions and the processes and procedures that all of these different trusts are operating under.
Okay.
That's called an interlocking trust directorate, so that you can keep control of numerous different kinds of assets and different kinds of activities using this structure. And, you know, basically, this was something that we postulated had to be true probably 30 years ago. But we actually found proof of it 11 years ago, when some Dutch statisticians found a correlation between different corporations that were otherwise inexplicable. And so we got to digging into that, and it turns out that there are just slightly over 700 allied corporations worldwide that work together in this manner. And they are able to control commodities, control governments, control banks, all sorts of things that
wow.
you wouldn't suspect. Anyway, so it's organized in such a way as to benefit the shareholders of these corporations, and not necessarily to benefit the earth or the planet as a whole.
Wow, that's fascinating. Is that one of the reasons why there's such media control? This is alternative media, of course. My station's alternative media. But for most of the media outlets in the United States, there's like a 90% is controlled like by 5 or 6 different corporations. Is that what you were talking about, interlocking directorships, where they're basically one entity, in effect, controls much of one sector of the economy?
Right. Monopolies are one of the results of this.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of the media, those major media corporations are all owned and operated by foreigners.
Mm.
So we're getting our news, the mainstream news, is all being pumped to us by foreign nations and foreign concerns that have their own bailiwicks and their own access.
Right. Wow. Amazing. That's amazing. The one thing I want to tell you, a friend of mine told me about this, and I didn't believe it till I looked it up, is that everyone here in the United States has Social Security numbers, and there are companies out there which take our Social Security numbers and get bonds on our Social Security numbers, so that when we pass on, they actually make money off of it. Do you know much about that, or why that's done?
Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Okay.
Those are life force value annuities. but otherwise known as bottomry bonds in Admiralty. Mm-hmm. But that's just a part of it.
I see.
They actually issue bonds of all sorts, and the most typical bond are labor bonds. They basically bond out our labor, and they receive back payment in the basis of taxes against those corporations. Mm-hmm. And this all comes from a process of impersonation. Now, when I say impersonation, most people will at least vaguely understand that impersonation is a crime. And we have been the victims of crime in that we, living people, have been impersonated as corporate entities. And so that's how they're doing all of this. It's important to understand that you can do anything to a corporation because it isn't real. It's a legal fiction. Okay? Right. So, you know, you can rape, burn, plunder, rob, steal, murder a corporation. And so long as they promote this confusion between the living flesh and the incorporated imposter, they get away with murder, literally. So people need to understand that there's a difference between being a living man or woman and being a person. It's the people who rule this country, not persons. And somehow or other, this has all been promoted as a gigantic fraud against us and against many, many, many other countries. This is not just an American problem.
The pharmaceutical industry here in the world actually is very powerful. And I've been told as well that they're basically a cartel, a monopoly. And this started, I think, with the beginning of the last century, 19th century, with or 20th century, with John D. Rockefeller and others. Have you encountered the same forces in that industry as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
A lot of what's going on now, people are reacting against forced vaccination. They're reacting against gun grabbing. They're reacting against child snatching, against oppressive taxes, against property seizures. There are so many things that people are enduring needlessly because they are allowing these rats to impersonate them. We have a choice.
Interesting.
Let me observe, you know, when you go into the armed services, for example, you sign a contract and you have a tour of duty. And for the time that you're in the service, you stand under military law, right?
Right, right.
Okay. Well, it's the same thing here. If you sign a contract to act as a person and you knowingly sign that, willingly sign that, then you are under the law of persons. And you are deemed to be occupying an office of personhood. And a person is a corporation. It's a legal fiction.
Right.
So a person can be abused. Now, you will notice that in Article 4 of the Constitutions, all three of them, you will see that part of the duty of the Queen and the Pope and of the States of America organizations is to protect our American persons. They're supposed to protect our business interests and our individual persons. And they're not doing that because they are mischaracterizing us as British territorial citizens and as municipal citizens instead of as Americans.
Am I wrong to say that we didn't win the War of Independence in 1776? What happened after that to turn things around?
No, we actually did win what we got out of it, which was control of the land and sea and the soil associated with our country. But these are commercial corporations that we're dealing with, and they're crooked. Okay, so they will use all sorts of unfair and illegitimate means to gain control and to make profit.
Right.
Okay, so we've got the situation where if people want to be free of forced vaccination, they want to be free of gun grabbing, and they want to be free of oppressive income taxes, and they want to be free of government snooper-poopering into every aspect of their lives, then they need to declare their proper political status on the land and soil of their country, and they need to declare that they are under the substantive law, not the statutory law, and they need to do it in no uncertain terms. Because in truth and in fact, none of these statutory courts have any right to even address us. And they don't have any right to presume upon these impersonations that they've created. So, you know, I see all of this furor going on and all these people trying to bring court cases in these statutory courts. Persons have no rights. Persons are legal fiction. Everything that's in the realm of international mercantile and everything that's in the global realm of commerce is a fiction. Okay? They have nothing, right. These things have nothing right. to do with you, the living man.
Right. Right.
So make that distinction, stand under the right law, and magically all of this problem goes away.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. That's just fascinating. I always thought that when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled years ago, Anna, that corporations were persons entitled to all the protections of the Constitution, there was something wrong with that. It was fiction. It was like fantasy land. Because the Constitution was written, the U.S. Constitution, it was written for people, wasn't it? Not for corporations.
Actually, no. The Constitution was written for persons, and persons can be lawful or they can be legal. Mm-hmm. The distinction that you have to make in your own mind is whether you're standing under law, actual substantive law, mm-hmm. or you are standing under statutory law, which is meant for legal fictions.
I see.
Think okay. about statutory law in terms of being law that is created by statute. By man's mm-hmm. legislation, right?
Right.
But when you are lawful, you are standing under God's law. And you mm-hmm. can operate a person like a small business, or you can operate your own trade when you go out and you buy and sell and do things. You can operate in your own name, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you do that, you're operating under your own name and your own trademarks and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what happens if somebody else comes in, seizes hold of the name of your lawful person that's standing under God's law, the substantive law that rules living beings, and they reinterpret that, they redefine it to be a legal person?
Mm-hmm.
Well, suddenly you've shifted from the substantive law to the statutory law.
Right.
And okay. you're under a whole different rulership.
I see. Very interesting point. Interesting point. Yeah.
Well, I can talk to you about this, Ted, because you've had education and have actually been in that profession.
Right. Right.
But a lot of people don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So with that distinction, then these different banks and investment companies, I mean, like I used my Social Security and I went to one website, and the website is, let me look it up here. It's www.gmeiutility.org, gmeiutility.org. And there's a little up to the upper right-hand corner, there's a little like a magnifying glass. And you put your Social Security number in there with dashes if you're an American citizen. And they'll pull up all the bonds that these other banks and investment companies have taken out in your name illegally because you didn't have any knowledge or consent. And for me, there's 6,847, and each bond is worth at least $1 million that they collect when I pass on. I had no idea that even existed.
That's what Prince Philip illegally collected on us and the Canadians on April 17th, 2017. They're called Life Force Value Annuities, and they're basically the accumulation of bottomry bonds on our quote-unquote vessels. And it's all fraud. It's all complete and utter hokum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see how they can get away with it. Is there a way to stop them from doing that?
Well, we are working on ways of stopping them from doing that. It is against the law to securitize any living being or anything representing a living being.
Right.
And so what they've done with this impersonation scheme is to basically evade the constitutions.
Wow, that's amazing. I had no idea that anybody would be so diabolical to do that, really. What other things have you found out for people? I know there's a lot you probably can talk about, but...
Well, the chief issue is, number one, to declare your political status as a living man or woman, standing under the substantive law of your country of origin. And that goes the same all over the world, same in England, same in Germany, everywhere. You have to stand up and declare yourself. Otherwise, they have presumed that they have a right to define who you are and in what capacity you are acting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have to place yourself under the substantive law and lay claim to the constitutional guarantees. And you have to become familiar enough with the substantive law of your own country to be able to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, in America, all of the state of state constitutions, even though they are for the territorial states, okay, they nonetheless express what the founding principles are about. And the actual responsibility of a government is to protect the people and to protect their property.
Right.
It has no other value, no other job, no other reason for being.
Right.
And our founding principles make it very clear that they are to be protecting us on an individual basis.
I have to ask you this question, Anna. I haven't read. Well, I've read a few articles. I still have, like, of yours on your website. I think I've got, like, 1,989 articles to go. But I did read a couple of articles on your website in my copious free time this week between watching old movies and eating chocolate bonbons. I'm just kidding. No, I don't sit around and watch movies. But anyway, but one article that you had was the origin of this distinction comes from the Civil War here in the United States in the 1860s. In 25 words or less, could you explain a little bit about that? You can have more than 25 words.
The Civil War wasn't actually a war. It was a mercenary conflict like Vietnam.
Okay.
And it was never declared by our Congress, and it was never ended with a peace treaty.
Right.
And at the end of the war, the actual entities that fought the Civil War were business interests operating as states of states that were members of the original Confederation of States, and these were in complete disruption. The northern states of states, called Confederate states, were all bankrupt, and the southern states of states were in ruins.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole section of our federal government collapsed. But that was just the federal government. That was not the United States of America, our actual states. That was a state of state. And by that, I mean a business operation or corporation. It can be either way. That does business for the states. If you go back and look at the rosters and musters of the soldiers that were participants, you'll see that they were all mustered out of the state of New York, the state of Massachusetts, the state we're not talking about an actual state. Our states were never part of the Civil War.
Interesting.
So that's why I say it was a mercenary conflict.
Okay.
So the collapse of one third of our federal government occurred as a result of the Civil War, but that's just the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically parlayed that into a whole series of step-by-step degradations and false presumptions. They have been continuing to work this whole fraud scheme sort of situation where they substituted British state of state organizations for our American state of state organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1937, the two sides, the municipal government and the territorial government, both of which are foreign to us, colluded together under an agreement called the Declaration of Interdependence of the governments in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, these are two federal foreign subcontractors, the territorial government run by the Brits and the Papist municipal government, colluding together to pillage us and evade the constitutional agreements.
This is incredible information. You know, my other guest just during the past hour, Simon Parks from England, he basically told me the same thing last week, or
yes,
week before last. Yeah, he said the same thing. And I told him about you, and he wants to talk to you. And anyway, I wanted to let you know you have fans. I know you have a lot of fans, but I'm just saying he's interested very interested in what you have to say.
Well, we have quite a situation going on right now because we're having to go back and reclaim the land and soil jurisdiction from the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go through quite a process to declare yourself and to cast off all of these adhesion contracts and other presumptions that they've been casting on you for generations.
Right.
And as things stand, there is nobody standing up for Britain and the Commonwealth because the Queen abdicated her throne within 3 days after her coronation back in 1953.
Hmm.
She's been occupying the chair of the estates ever since.
Hmm.
So as a result, there is no lawful Queen of England. There is nobody actually sitting on the Christian throne of England.
Interesting.
And in this great of assets and who owns what, mm-hmm, there isn't a legitimate British ruler stepping forward to claim the land and soil assets of England, Scotland, Wales. Not, you know, there's nobody there. And there are a couple of guys, both of them from Australia, who have, you know, stepped forward. But really, it's a very chancy, very ugly situation, and people have got to start paying attention.
Right, right. Well, I'm sure the people in Britain would be just as surprised about what you said as I am now, as I am now. So, and it really comes down to control, sovereignty, who makes the decisions governing our lives, the leaders who we vote for. They're not in control after all, are they, Anna?
No, they're not. And they haven't been for a mm-hmm long time.
Right.
And, you know, basically they've all been co-opted and coerced and by various means brought under the control of these corporations, which have, you know, basically wild.
Right.
And, there's a film that does a pretty good job of explaining a lot of this. It's called, I think it's from JFK to 9/11,
mm-hmm,
and it shows how these industrialists like Rockefeller and Rothschild, being the banking end of it, and E.H. Harriman and Cornelius mm-hmm Vanderbilt and all these other robber barons conspired together to basically offload the tax debts of the corporations onto the backs of the working people.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
They also conspired to enfranchise us, which is at the heart of the impersonation racket.
Mm-hmm.
As franchises of their quote-unquote national corporations.
Mm-hmm.
So they laid an outrageous claim upon us as chattel backing their debts.
This is amazing, Anna, because most people, I don't think anybody in their right mind would ever consent to that.
No one would knowingly consent to it, no.
No.
But what they did was they made it sound like a great and wonderful thing. You were going to have voting rights. But when you accept voting rights, you lose your ability to elect. See?
Right.
And they started messing around with all this legalese and name game jargon BS where, just for example, human being means monster.
And it according,
has, yes.
It has, according to them?
Yeah, well, in any legal dictionary that, you know, I can show you half a dozen examples where it means someone who is illegitimate. It means somebody who's dangerous, someone uncouth, illiterate, a monster, bad. And yet people have been taught to refer to themselves as human beings. And we even have human rights commissions. But the moment that you admit to being a human being, you're basically admitting in legal land to being an animal and to be treated like an animal.
Well, this is going to have to be changed. I'm sorry. That's unacceptable. I know most people look at themselves as good, and the basic human nature of most people, I think, is to be good, to be caring and loving with each other and to make this world a better place. We're not bad entities. Who concocted this bizarre definition, by the way?
Well, basically, it was done as a means of separating the living man from the dead person.
I see.
And okay. So all persons are considered to be human beings. They call them natural persons, and that means you're a bastard. It means you have not the marriage giving rise to you was not sanctioned by God.
I see.
And oddly enough, that is how they view it when you get a marriage license. A marriage license is a permission for you as a slave to have a joint venture, a joint business venture with another slave, with the state of state occupying a silent third party position.
So when people get married, then the law presumes that you're two slaves getting permission from the state gosh.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my
well,
goodness.
How else does the state of state get a voice in how you settle a divorce or who has custody of your children?
That's
you
true.
Have to give that to them. And the business of marriage licensing arose, well, it has a long history of control of slaves and of indentured servants. Okay. But where it got its immediate start was, that we're looking at right now, is that after the Civil War, a great many plantation slaves, former plantation slaves, were cast adrift and in need of welfare. And there was great concern, particularly in the South, that they would just lay around and breed like rabbits and become a great problem on the public dole. So they instituted these marriage licensing laws that apply only to colored people. And in order to get married, even if a former slave who was on the public dole because of the disruption caused by the Civil War, would have to get a job and have a certain amount of income and stability and whatnot, would have to prove that he was able to support a wife and family before he could be licensed to marry. And that's where marriage licensing comes from, as outrageous as that is.
Wow.
And it's still ongoing, and it's still outrageous.
So the root of it was based upon a slavery system which eventually was applied to everyone here in the United States anyway. Is that true in other countries as well?
Yes, absolutely. That's how they're trying to force people to get vaccinated in Germany. And you will notice that there is a class distinction here. People who could pay the $3,000 don't have to be vaccinated.
Oh, that's interesting, too. Yeah. According to what I was told, is that in on March 1st of 2020, they will require all children in Germany to be vaccinated. And if you don't have it, you can't go to school. But the flip side of that, that's true. Otherwise, they have to pay a fine of 2,500 euros or $3,000, which is just amazing. Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, think about this. You're being controlled by a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And that corporation depends upon you for its existence. So you have the tail wagging the dog. You have your public servants running roughshod over you.
Right.
And at some point, people have to wake up, step aside from this silliness, get back under the substantive law, the God's law, that rules living people, and put an end to this, because it's nothing but chicanery and fraud and self-interest and evil.
I'd love to ask you this question, and I hope you don't mind, but myself, I believe in angels and benevolent spirits on the other side. And do you have the same belief, and do you get advice from benevolent spirits and entities to help you in your work?
Ted, when I said I was going to come on your show today, all of the military guys that I know that are my friends and confidants and intel providers were all aghast. They said, oh, no, don't do that. You'll ruin your credibility talking to these guys. They're a bunch of nutcases.
Well, we're out of this world, but we're not nutcases. I mean,
well, anyway. Obviously, I beg to differ with them. Mm-hmm. You can't see love, and you can't see a photon of light, and you can't see electricity. Mm-hmm. So the whole business of this mentality that unless you can hold it in your hand and see it with your naked eye, it doesn't exist, that's just plain silly.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that are most important in our lives are invisible, at least to our physical senses.
That's true.
So, you know, when you're talking about ghosts and other spirits, most people, one way or another, are part of some sort of a religious heritage that includes ghosts and spirits and angels and demons and it's really not that hard to understand ETs in the same way.
Right.
And, we in the Christian tradition, of course, and in the Judeo-Christian tradition, we're very clearly told that God is the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't bother people.
No, it doesn't. Mm-mm.
So, you know, why is it that we have this cognitive dissonance in dealing with the unseen world and admitting that we're not alone?
Right. Right.
So that's where I come from on this, is that everything that I've learned, all of the ancient manuscripts I've pored over, all of the ancient Sanskrit, all the ancient Iraqi and cuneiform and Assyrian and Hittite, Egyptian records, everything points to an extraterrestrial origin for our lives here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, am I supposed to ignore the combined historical and spiritual record of all of these great civilizations and just say, oh, it's all just poppycock?
Yeah, I see your point, sure. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and also the fact that it's worldwide.
Right.
There's consensus.
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as I'm concerned, it's a settled issue.
Mm-hmm.
And those who want to argue about it can go argue in the corner, and the rest of us are going to make our best effort to play with a full deck.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's good. Do you believe you're protected and by angels?
I have actual reason to believe that. I mean, very factual reason to believe that. Several times there have been attempts upon my life.
Really?
And I have been protected very solidly.
Wonderful.
So I have actual, factual, you know, try to explain that kind of experiences.
Right.
And well, I'll give you one.
Okay.
I was doing a very menial task, and I was sweeping up the floor in my kitchen.
Right.
And I had a kitchen chair that was sort of in my way, and so I moved the chair to get at the dust bunnies under the chair, and I just turned it around and sat it on a landing, a stair landing. No particular reason. I'd never done that before. It just happened to be in the flow of what was happening with my floor sweeping projects.
Sure.
A couple hours later, I came up those stairs, and I slipped, and I fell.
Oh, no.
I turned 180 degrees in midair and sat down in that chair.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Unharmed. Completely unharmed.
That's wonderful. What a beautiful story.
I should have broken my neck. I should have broken my leg.
Sure. Sure.
I should have been messed up from toe to head to toe.
Sure.
And that's just a small example of the sorts of things that have happened to me, for me, around me. So there's no doubt in my mind that there are energetic forces that protect me.
Well, I can see angels around you, Anna, and I know that they're all protecting you for your wonderful work. So I have to ask you also, what do you think? I always love to ask my my guests, what do they see happening for the world this year? And also, if people come to me and ask how we can make this world a better place, what would you tell them?
Well, get out my crystal ball, huh?
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
I see more and more people waking up.
Okay.
I see more and more organized action against what I would call the corporate cabal.
Okay.
I see more and more realization of the importance of standing under substantive law instead of statutory law, and the need to break up this impersonation racket that's been foisted off on us by the British Crown and other organizations that have acted as privateers and mercenaries, basically. I see a very strong need to go after the Pope and his entire organization. As people don't realize this, but he's responsible for global jurisdiction of the air and for commerce. And that means he's in control of the corporations. He has the unique ability to liquidate any corporation that is caught acting in a criminal or unlawful manner. And because the Roman pontiff hasn't been doing his job, and the Roman Pope has not been doing his job, we wind up with a situation where these corporations have been able to run rampant over the rights and the law of the people. Okay, so we need to really bring a lot of attention to the Roman Church and its hegemony on corporations and their responsibility to the rest of the world to ride herd on these entities and organizations.
Interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. I remember from one of the two articles I wrote, I read from your website, Anna, that there's a history there of how this all started in the 1860s after the Civil War here in the United States. But there's also some interesting information about the whole – I don't think people realize the power of the Vatican here in the United States.
No, really, I don't think that it was ever public knowledge.
No.
I think that they have run a very quiet, secretive role. And I think that has been entirely on purpose. But, the bottom line here is that they have been key to forming this entire interlocking trust directorate.
Mm-hmm.
They have key responsibilities to the rest of us that they have not fulfilled. And the more that you learn about it, the more outrageous it becomes.
Well, I want to mention your website again for people who want more information. It's www.anna, A-N-N-A, then Vaughn, V as in Victor, O, N as in Nancy, and then Wrights, R as in Robert, EITZ.com. She has lots of really fascinating information there, and I urge everyone to please check out her wonderful website. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left, Anna, and I wanted to tell you that so to help so you can wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Well, I just wanted to say, Ted, that nothing that I'm saying about the responsibilities of the Pope and of the Vatican, which is basically a property management organization for the Pope, or the Holy See, to be more correct, that's only been in existence since 1929, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
None of those complaints and irritations and needs that I see forthcoming from this entire process is an attack against any of the devout and kindly and wonderful actual Christian people who consider themselves to be Catholic.
Sure. I was actually raised Catholic, so I don't go to church now, but I do appreciate the church for teaching me about God and angels. But go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, and, I don't want to translate the dissatisfaction and even irritation and outrage. Irritage. I just made up a new word there. But the things that I hold against the Holy See and the Vatican as an organization that has these responsibilities that they haven't followed through on should not be taken as an attack against Catholics or against Catholic belief in general, or
okay.
I myself have my own beliefs, and I have many friends who are Catholic, and I have many friends who are Jewish, and I even have a few friends who are Muslim, even though I've grown up in a country that does not provide with much interaction with Muslims. And to a certain extent, religion has been used as a means to cripple us and to divert our attention away from what is true, and to that extent, it's been bad.
But and divide us as well, yeah.
Right, and to divide us.
Right.
But it has served the purpose of making us at least somewhat aware of some basic truths.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I wouldn't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater or cause any fights between different viewpoints.
Sure. I think people are open-minded enough to realize what you're saying, that you mean, because there's a lot of good people in the Catholic churches and all the religions. But
right.
This is just sort of like a historical analysis of what's gone on in the United States and other countries that people are just simply not aware of. So, and I appreciate you so much for, helping to raise consciousness. We've got about 30, 40 seconds left, Anna, and I wanted to tell you that so you can wrap up your wonderful interview.
Well, I would just advise everyone to stay calm and to do their best to understand what's going on in their world, be observant, and, make up your own minds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Anna, thank you so much again for coming on my show today. I really appreciate it. Her website, again, is www.annavonwrights.com. Tomorrow, I'll be at the Cosmic Awareness Fair here in beautiful Olympia, Washington, from about 10 a.m. to about 5 or 6 p.m., and I hope you can come down. The address is 9101 Steilacoom Road, and I hope you all have a beautiful and happy weekend, and thanks again so much for listening today. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, Ted.
Bye-bye, Anna. Wonderful to talk to you.